When a severe storm hits, hail and high-speed winds can cause excessive damage to your home. This can lead to blown-off shingles, broken windows, siding damage, and leaking inside. If you suspect your home has been hit with storm damage, contact CNN Construction today. We are a proud GAF Master Elite contractor, offering free exterior home inspection for storm-related damages. CNN is a reputable licensed roofing and general contractor working hand-in-hand with insurance companies and homeowners every step of the way through the difficult claims and restoration process. We will meet with your insurance adjuster to discuss the damages to your property, the value of those repairs, and the scope of work needed at your home. Our skilled team has you covered and will leave your home looking brand new. Give us a call today at 844-415-ROOF. Or visit our website at cnroofs.com for a free exterior inspection. CNN Construction, we find the solutions, not the excuses.
Hang on a second, guys. One second.
What up?
We've got to give a shout out to South Nashville Heating and Cooling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Friend and supporter, showing proof. Also, the longest-running sponsor of I Got Some Shit to Say, the podcast.
Absolutely. Look, man, South Nashville Heating and Cooling, where quality and craftsmanship come together. They've been doing this since 1985. That's almost 40 years of service. Expert designs, quality installation, superior service.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something.
What's that?
Tell me.
I feel confident in the fact that South Nashville Heating and Cooling will keep me warm in the winter.
For sure.
It'll keep me cool in the summer.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, these middle months, you'll be comfortable even then.
Absolutely, dude.
Y'all know the deal, man. South Nashville Heating and Cooling, we love those guys. Y'all see the name, y'all see the number. Tap in.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Always.
Storm! Damn.
Yeah. Now look at us. Hey.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Look at this.
Look at us.
Look how far we came, guys. New you can see our feet, for God's sakes.
New setup.
Right?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Y'all ready to do this?
Let's do this podcast, man.
I Got Some Shit to Say, the podcast, man. We're back like we don't stop, because trust us, we never do. All we do is work. Y'all know me.
Fuck you, Squint.
That's right. R.I.P.
Wizzle Fizzle.
Forever and always. With me, as usual, down there on the end with a Starbucks drink.
ChadOrbsTV.com.
Shout out to Medicine Ball. Thank you, one. Thank you, Mel.
Solid shots out.
Real shit.
Y'all hear the cadence down there on the end of the couch? We got the one, the only.
And Mildred still in the motherfucking building.
Hell yeah.
I wish she was. I wish she was like off camera somewhere where I could wink at her.
She like came in on a walker.
We can't be winking at Mildred.
I will, though.
That's my Mildred.
When you pull her close, I'm gonna fuck with her.
You know what? Fuck.
I'm gonna flirt with her.
Everybody get money, man.
Yeah, I'm trying. That's my angle to the opportunity.
We can share.
I ain't trying to get up in your bag like that, but I'm trying to get in your bag. You follow what I'm saying?
The key to having a Mildred is she got to be able to have multiple bags. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Okay. You gotta have a Blanche.
Yeah.
You got Mildred. Then
shout
you got
out Blanche.
Dorothy.
Blanche.
I'm just naming
just
cast
Blanche.
Members from Golden Girls.
Blanche was the freaky one.
Fuck yeah,
Blanche. Blanche looked like she probably licked a butthole or two in her lifetime, judging by her activities on Golden Girls.
Attractive of the three or four of them, however many it was.
And fun fact, let's go ahead and hit that up real quick. Before we get to the guest, let me just say this
one
thing.
We do have a guest.
Yeah. Estelle Getty was Ma. She was the oldest one. She was actually the youngest
one. What the fuck is Estelle Getty?
Estelle Getty. That sounds like an Italian dish.
Yeah. Sounds like spaghetti.
RIP to all the Golden Girls. They all died.
Damn. That's what is Estelle Getty?
That's the one that played. That's the name of the lady that played Ma.
That's her name?
She was the youngest of the.
I heard that she was always. She was the youngest.
Yeah, she was the youngest one. She played the oldest one.
Damn.
Yeah.
Golden Girl. Let's start a Golden Girls podcast, guys.
All right.
Okay, my bad.
We got a guest tonight. Today, whatever's happening right now. We got a great guest. One that I've actually looked forward to having here for a long time. Fun fact. I've never had the opportunity to meet our guest until today, but I've always, I know I can, and he will vouch for this, I've always been a solid supporter of this cat. I've always been a cheerleader in his corner, and I've always liked and followed and shared all his shit just out of being a fan. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the one, the only, Tin Man in the building.
And I was going to say, do I got something like a...
If we would have been better prepared, I got the DJ horns. We could have went that route if that's what you wanted.
I just wondered if I had one. No, it's cool.
Round of applause.
I appreciate y'all having me on here for
You deserve the round of applause, man. I'm glad to have you here, Tim, man, because honestly, bro, like, you have been someone in this genre without even knowing you were in a country rap genre for so long. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it's like when the genre really took off, I was like, wait, whoa, where's Tin Man?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, yeah, about the time I realized that he had stepped back from the music scene, he's getting back in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what led us up to this scenario right here. Yeah, I'm so glad that it's kind of played out the way it has from my initial introduction to you online to where we are right now.
Yeah,
and we'll get into all that. But we're really happy to have you, man.
Before anything, man, I'm blessed to be here. I mean, for y'all to watch y'all, because like you said, at the same time, it was when, you know, we were all kind of doing our thing back then.
Yeah.
Young, dumb, just doing. We nobody had a clue back then. Hell, exactly, we were just grinding, that, you know, right, just doing what we need to do.
Yeah.
So to see y'all grow and just keep elevating. Every time I see something, the sets change and stuff's happening. Like y'all are, you know, you're getting your flowers. You know what I'm saying? And it's cool to see people recognizing y'all. You know, especially because I know how much y'all put in.
Yes.
Coming to Nashville all the time and seeing, you know, y'all grind too. It's like, damn, finally somebody's recognizing what y'all got going on, man.
We appreciate
cool
that, man.
So that's why I was like, man, dude, I got to get up there and do the show, or, you know, some kind of way. Any excuse to come to Nashville,
though. Right.
I feel it. Like, hey,
y'all got
appreciate
it going on,
that,
man, and I'm very thankful to be here.
For our listeners and watchers that don't know, he said, come to Nashville. Where are you coming from? Where are you
residing?
Georgia. Middle Georgia.
Like Barnesville, Georgia.
Gotcha.
Like,
cool.
Down there in the middle of nowhere, small town life.
Shout out GA.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't no more playing GA. Shout out Pastor Troy. No,
shout out Pastor Troy.
One of the best songs.
Yeah.
In the world,
you know, I come up here because I vibe better. You know,
it makes sense.
In, you know what I'm saying? In the Nashville, hell, everybody in the world comes to Nashville to do music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, you can find it all in Tennessee. Whatever you need as far as your genre, or studio preference, or recording vibe, it don't matter what you're chasing for your creativity.
Yeah.
You can find it here. You know, you can do it. And Atlanta's kind of one style kind of area, you know what I'm saying, which is popping. You can't take nothing away from Atlanta, you know, shout out Atlanta, but me and my style of music, storytelling kind of thing, didn't really fit in. It fit in more in Nashville.
You found more comfort.
Once I got to Nashville and got around these people that were, man, like-minded and still were telling stories or storytellers, you know, that was what was popping back then, as lyrics, you know. Hell, now you don't have to say nothing and you can be on. But back then, you know, being able to tell a story and get people to be like, oh shit, I grew up like that too. Or, you know, I feel that. He's the same as me, you know, whether he knows or not. That's kind of what draw me to doing it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's, coming to Nashville is just the place you're going to get it, you know what I mean? And the connections here, man, or they're here, you know what I mean? Without going crazy in Cali or hitting other places like that, you got to come to Tennessee, man.
Where did your initial contacts with Nashville originate from? How long ago does that go back? Like, bro, when you guys get on YouTube right now and you type in Tin Man, like, we'll make sure all of his contact stuff's below, of course. But if you're unfamiliar, like, this guy's got a track record. He's been doing this for a lot of years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
a long time,
we were going down the YouTube rabbit hole for Tin Man literally last night and this morning. Shout out Jackie Moon. Jackie Moon's in the building. We were going through some of this shit together, and I was looking at shit 9 years old, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one that he did that we talked about in the interview that he did that, you said it was 2013, that video, Wasting Away.
Wasted Away.
So 4 million plus views.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll probably come out before this because we're banking episodes, so we'll have that description somewhere.
Shout out Chad Arms TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But bro, like you've been doing the damn thing for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been a while, dude. Like, to me, it don't seem like it because I just like doing music. It ain't been like I've been on the road grinding. I've been on tours and all that stuff. I don't want nobody to think that, man. That's why I'm like I tell people, I'm like, bro, I'm a small speck when it comes to the people that I feel like they affiliate me with, almost like when they put me in a category with some of the artists that are doing it, you know what I'm saying? They're really killing it, man. I'm very flattered about that. But at the same time, man, I'm humbled. I know my spot and I know, you know, the order that things go in. And I feel like, you know, I got a lot to prove, you know what I'm saying, as far as like being on that level with them. I got to come a little harder and show what's going on a little bit more.
As far as like jumping back in the game as of recently.
This time I got to do things a little more professional before.
It's really, not to cut you off, but it's really interesting to hear you talk like that sitting next to that guy.
For sure.
Because, you know, one took a similar hiatus for a number of years. Yeah. But now that he's back fully indulged in his music shit, and he's got a guy like Chad Arms and Squints in his corner full time.
Absolutely, you know what I'm saying?
He is so humbled to the fact that he has to like regain his credit.
You gotta work for that.
You gotta work. Yeah, like, you gotta get back relevant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what I gotta do. I gotta grind my ass off to get back into people's ear and do my thing like before. It's just, at this time I'm a little older, I gotta learn the game again. Before it was, hell, go around with your mixtapes, give them out, sell them out your CD.
I was just about to ask you that too. Like, what is the biggest adjustment from knowing how shit was back then to now?
Doing the social media thing, man, like I talk about in the interview, because, man, I don't I'm not vain like that. I'm not that kind of artist. I'm not. Yeah. There's artists that I'm cool with not getting all that crazy spotlight because, yeah, you know what I'm saying? If it comes, cool, man. I ain't turning nothing down. Shout out to things. Right, but at the same time, man, I'm good. So I don't know, man. It's just, it's a different ball game now as far as social media goes and the TikTok and being able to, you almost need, either got to have a team, which, you know, you got to find like-minded people to have a team where you can work with them, or you got to damn learn it yourself. Video editing, putting out your stuff, putting out content.
Yeah,
I don't
take trust enough, me, we can relate.
Yeah, I don't take enough selfies and shit to damn.
It's the act of this right here.
To do that
it's
every
this,
day.
It's this right here.
Yeah, you know I don't walk around like
but
this.
But I love how he just said, I don't take enough selfies. I love that line because, bro.
I don't fuck with them like that. And I mean, if somebody takes my picture, I'll be like, hell, let me get that so I can share it. Because I mean, I'd be begging for content to put out because I know people want to know what's going on with me. But at the same time, man, I'm busy. I do shit. I ain't got time to pick up the phone and always video what's going on. I don't go live and shit like I need to, and I do need to work on, you know what I'm saying, a little bit more contact with my fan base. But at the same time, it's almost like nowadays you got to be a little weary of how about you reach out to people on this because people are fucking nuts. You know what I'm saying?
Being distant. Being distant as an artist isn't frowned upon like it used to be.
Yeah, man.
Where you think where you have to be like overly engaging. I think a perfect example of this is that NF kid. NF kid literally just being like a heavy force in almost like Christian rap genre at this point. Absolutely. No profanity, no nothing. Like he's literally fell off the face of the earth for a number of years, I guess. And then now has came back completely redone, dropped an album, 11 million views in a week, like type shit, like crazy numbers. And it's like he never does interviews. He never posts on social media. Not the music speaks for itself. Now, granted, that's not a scenario for every artist in America or around the world, but it's just a kind of a scenario of an artist that kind of took the different approach and it worked for him.
I was going to say it worked. You kind of gamble on taking that approach. And me, like, I kind of did that for a while because I wanted people to hear the music and I wanted to, obviously, you know, growing up super poor, you kind of, damn, you want the money, obviously, you know, I wanted to ride around in limousines like we were watching growing up back in the day, rappers, you know, I wanted that life, this poor trailer park life shit I'm doing, I want to do that, so at the time, you know, I'm like, I gotta be a rapper, that's the only way to get this fucking money, or an actor, and I'm not going on fucking to act or nothing, you know, definitely wasn't going to go be a lawyer or a doctor, so
pick up a pack,
you know what I'm saying, I got in trouble for that, you know what I'm saying, so we ain't going to, you know, I damn, it's like, shit, we're gonna do music or whatever as soon as I can get on with that. But then I kind of like grow and you get a little bit where it's like, hold on, man, I don't really need that or nor do I want that. You know what I mean? Because especially nowadays, like I said, that's one of the downfalls of trying to get in music now is the social media. And if you're not popping, but it's also like can kill you so quick, bro. Like
one wrong
motherfucking move. Yeah. And it's curtains, you done, bro. Like they're taking, I mean, it'll turn on you so quick, boy. Yeah. Like, you know, you're canceled, but.
Even if you don't get canceled, they shutting your page and shit down.
Limiting your videos down and, you know,
visibility and all that.
You gotta get.
It's shadow ban you. You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff.
Like we were talking about too earlier, we were talking about like back in the day. And now, honestly, I mean, it's still the same. It's just, it's not as expensive, but it's like the lottery, bro. It's like playing the lottery. It is, trying to be a rapper. Because you're like playing the lottery, you're going to buy all these lottery tickets hoping you win some kind of money.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's the same thing back in the day when we were putting all that money into our music dream, hoping that it does something.
Yeah, you're just hoping for a return.
Even if you make half, a third of your money.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we were going to places giving out CDs.
Yeah, you go give it away.
I'd
come
to Squince's work and burn 200 CDs and hope that I could sell them.
Yeah. We go out that same night and perform and sell them.
Yeah.
Or try to.
Try.
And
I mean,
give them away. Give them away. If the motherfucker didn't have no money, you just give it to them.
Ride around with boxes of CDs, man. Just give them to whoever.
Give them.
You know?
Yeah.
But like I say, now, you got to go viral.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people got to share your shit. You got to get, you know, you got to
You got to be controversial. You
really got to work social media, man. And
you really
shout out to the people who do, man, because it's an art.
It really is.
It's definitely a game, bro.
Every day they sit down at this time, they got to make a video for this. This needs to hit this. You know, like, I respect it and get it because I know how much it takes to do that. You know, I just.
It's a complicated lane. It's a really especially when you implement algorithms and all that kind of shit, like strategically, like the way that some of these content creators are bringing it nowadays. You know, like they wake up and especially like from an artist perspective, being able to be a content creator at the same time. Yeah. Like if you're an artist full time and you're like reaping the benefits of being either a creator that enables you to be an artist full time or vice versa.
Or you know, both,
if you put yourself in that type of scenario to where it's constantly creating, I think that's where the adjustment comes. You know what I mean? Because then you have a focal point now to where you like know. Yeah. But I know from your social media that you're way more than just a rapper. Like, you're a father, you're a business owner, you're, you know, you are a tradesman, you you work on trucks and shit, like, you do, like, man shit, bro.
Yeah, I gotta do it, bro.
Shout out man shit.
Yeah, shout out man shit. Minus the profanity, we should aim that towards the title somewhere. Man stuff. The man show. The man show.
Gotta spell it a certain way.
But you got to, man, like, as far as, I mean, I had a plan. Luckily, man, I was smart enough to have a plan B, you know, to almost where I was like, all right, this shit ain't working. Now, I started my family early, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was married at a young age, and I had kids that I had to take care of.
How old were you when you got married?
21, I believe.
Hell yeah. You know, I'm with it. Go.
So I got, you know, I got married at a young age, of course, you know, putting her through school and, you know, getting her degrees and stuff like that, because I didn't go to school. You know, ended up, pretty much, we worked through it. So I had I didn't have the money invested, you know, to try to really chase it like I was doing. I was getting lucky, man, and I made the connections that I did to get where I got. You know what I mean? Because it's expensive to do music if you're going to invest and put out some shit. And people don't know that.
All
you know?
Facts.
Like, people will just record a song and think, oh, this shit's about to blow. Now, I mean, I've seen it happen, too, though, where somebody records some song and that joke will go viral.
Yeah, SoundCloud shit.
Like 80 million views on
Absolutely.
It. And that's all you got to get is you could just need the numbers. That's all you need is the packet to show somebody, because people don't understand that to get the deals and to get the money,
it's all about
nothing but a loan from a bank that pretty much backs artists is all it is.
But that's exactly right.
It's all it is. Yeah. It's just like, okay, here's my resume. I'm worth this much. This is what, you know what I'm saying?
It's just like wanting to get a loan for a house or a car.
Exactly. You got
to
build it up. So, you're getting,
so they can see the same vision.
What's your credit like? Like, what kind of credentials you
Absolutely.
Got?
Absolutely. Get it, man. And it's one of the things. If you want it, you better damn grind up the numbers to go show them, hey, I'm worth this much money, or they're just not going to pay no attention to you. So a lot of people get it off going viral. You know?
Post Malone. I think that's like the perfect like trajectory, like look how quick it can happen type shit. Because with White Iverson, it went SoundCloud. Viral.
And what was that? That was the 2000.
And it seems like so long ago now, we forget how it started for him.
Right.
You know what
Why
I mean?
It should be like 2012.
He's such like an iconic person when it comes to music now, like worldwide. We're talking about post fucking Malone, for God's sakes. Yeah. But if you rewind back to where we first heard that White Iverson, it was a completely different character.
Yeah, it was.
But it took that overnight success on SoundCloud. I mean, literally, he said he woke up to millions of streams, and then the phone started ringing.
I didn't know that's 2015. I remember him being here. Well, I didn't know it was SoundCloud.
Yeah.
One billion views on YouTube for White Iverson.
1 billion. What's crazy about his story is he had self-investment money. His daddy had money. You know what I mean? So he was kind of at the crib creating nonstop, you know? His daddy worked for the Cowboys like his whole life. I think he still does.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. That's cool. That's definitely a fun fact. But it's been like that for like 25 years. His dad has been like faculty staff of Dallas Cowboys. So he's Yeah, he's been plugged in financially and just had money to create. But SoundCloud is how it happened.
Going back to what you said about the algorithm. The way I've been trying to figure out the algorithm, it's almost like when you learn how to play a game and then they change the rules every week.
Mm. An update or something.
You finally catch, like you're playing, say it's football, you finally learn all the rules or whatever. And then a week later, they're like, well, no, that's not working anymore. Now it's first, you got to get 15 yards for first down instead of 10.
Or they update the player attributes. Say like the initial release of the Madden, you got like a defensive end for a specific team you're using. He has a 98 speed and 95 elusiveness off the corner. Yeah. Then after the draft update, they fucking downgrade it to 92 off the corner and 90 speed. Yeah. And you can, I remember I used to use it before the last update. He used to be a monster. I used to sack the motherfucker every other play. And now, it's like you get caught up in the fucking line and you're not getting back there half as much.
We're constantly having to deal with that.
Constantly.
On ChatArms TV. And not just with YouTube, but like with our music. Like, I'm learning different things now every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's each one is different. Much. Like, Spotify. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying it's so fucking much that has to happen in order for.
So many elements.
Many elements for things to go the way that you want it.
Yeah. Like, even to release music. Yeah. You know, like you can go record somewhere, but then you want to have it mixed and mastered. That's a process.
Drop it on a certain day.
Then you want to drop it on a certain day. You got to get it uploaded to whoever's distributing your music. You have to go off their release dates and their terms.
And
so you're relying on that. Then you need artwork, right? And then there has to be a single for the record. Then you're trying to shoot a visual for that single, if not multiple visuals for multiple songs off the project. Like, there's it's just clockwork. It never fucking stops.
Man, I'm
finna
find... That's
the beauty about being independent, too.
I'm finna find a way to kind of take time back a little bit and fucking start selling this shit straight to the consumer.
You can, bro.
You definitely can.
Straight up.
There's some people that do where you can only buy their projects, like... on their website. Like you can't, they don't have it on streaming platforms. It's like an MP3, whether it's Bandcamp or something like that, where you can buy like an exclusive album and it's only on their website.
Yeah, they try to cut out all the middle people.
There's tons of tactics to like, even from like the podcast perspective, if we separated the audio from the video, like say the audio is available everywhere. You can tap in, listen everywhere, right? But in order to watch us, sign up for a Patreon. You can watch every episode just like you hear it right now. What if we separated that? To some people, that seems like, you know, blasphemy. But at the same time, from a marketing standpoint, that's how you create revenue. You
know what I mean? That's exclusivity too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how you separate the two.
Yeah, and people that figure it out and crack the code, man, especially like staying independent and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Once you figure it out and crack the code, man, you're golden. You can keep grinding and keep going.
Man, you said it.
You're good, dude, but it's cracking that damn code, bro, and getting in there and figuring it out to where you can be relevant all the time and you're popping up on people's news feeds and shit. And hell, getting the time, man, when you got wife and kids and mortgages and shit to pay and stuff like that, you know, it's harder to damn to stay on top of that shit. You know what I mean? Grown man shit kicks in and life happens, bro, and you gotta do what you gotta do, you know. But I mean, it is what it is. All grown and know what the hell's going on with it.
I think it's been so interesting.
You gotta start a business and shit. You gotta do what you gotta do.
To watch you, bro, and not know you personally. Because, like I said, bro, I've known you through social media for a number of years. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure if we got on our social medias and went back through our inboxes, there is continuous like salutes and just like little shit, bro, back and forth. Like just total, just organic exchanges to where like one day, bro, we're gonna link up and do something, bro. I see you moving, bro. I'm a fan. But the people that Tin Man had incorporated himself with along his journey are those trips to Nashville, so to speak. Like, dude, like to be signed to Damn It Boy, you know, what year did you sign to Damn It Boy?
Oh hell, I don't even fucking remember.
It doesn't
the album drops in 2016.
There you go. Just to put a cloud around it.
I was with Damn It Boy, though, before Damn It Boy was ever a thing. It was just me and D-Ray. You know what I'm saying?
That's it, though. Dude, to have a person like David Ray co-sign you as a
shout out David Ray, dude.
That is a short list of people that man will fucking literally say, I got you.
Absolutely.
We're going to make this work. Yeah. Like, we're going to record some shit, and it's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. And see, I understand that as a person and a man. Because of who, how much weight his name, you know, his name holds weight, bro. Like he's the fucking man to me. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's my
brother. Like
Leroy calls him Paul.
Nobody's gonna say bad shit about David Ray around me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they better damn not, because he's too good of a guy, man. And he's always had my back from day one, man. And like you said, linking with David Ray changed the game for me when it come to being in Nashville and the people I got to shake hands with and bump shoulders with and shit that I was around, stuff I would have never got when I was back home in Georgia. You know, down there, there's just not a music scene for what I do. You know what I mean? Like there's not, I don't even live in a place that has like a bar really, or a venue really, or something like that. Like I got to travel, you know, 45 minutes to hit a venue or something, you know what I mean? Like towards Atlanta, South Atlanta and shit.
I'm hot as fuck. Nashville Heat and Cooling.
Yeah, shout out Mark Gray for this.
Yeah, we got something in this moment.
Yeah, dude.
But meeting David Ray, man, he damn changed like totally my life. I when it started coming to Nashville, it was, hey man, you're coming to my spot. You're coming to stay with me. You're not getting a hotel no more. You're with me. You know, and it's like he took me under his wing, man, and he showed me the ropes of music, how to do it. As far as like David Ray, like my first, as far as like studio experiences, have been with David Ray. You know what I'm saying? Like that, a lot of damn being in a room with a musician.
Yeah, dude.
That damn
basement days.
Yeah, basement days, bro. Like we was just in there grinding, man. Like everybody's sleeping on the floor, dude. Like we're all in there 6-7 deep, you know, grinding it out. The whole band's there. You know, I-4 and I's band's there. We're all laying on the floor and shit, or couches, wherever we can sleep. Because it was like, hey, you got to take a nap, and you was going back in the studio, work a little bit more, come back out, or you was writing or something. You know, it's just rotating people to do their parts, whether you were tracking guitar or you were laying verses or you were just in there making beats. Whatever you had to do, people were just rotating through, you know, through the studio, you know.
Yeah.
But Tara, man, they've opened up their house to me so much, and
love like, them,
man, dude. They're such
love
good
them.
People.
I talked to them this morning.
Man, my wife will come up here and stay with me and shit, and we'll be at their spot with them and stuff, man. Because like it's more of a family
shit.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's like he's just the greatest guy, man. When it comes to if you don't know David Ray, man, you're missing out, man. He's
top five
dude.
Human for
but
sure.
Yeah, for sure. But even if you know this guy, if you know David Ray and you value him as a friendship, good for you. He's a great fucking friend. I'm lucky enough to have that same relationship with him, dude. But from a music perspective, he is a goddamn genius.
Absolutely.
And he knows, I think he's into his old age. He's starting to realize what he was put on this planet to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he continuously just shows us with his pen and his ability to create these things that he has created.
He's been nice for a long time.
So tell me another one, though, you've ever heard him sign up like that. Other than Tin Man.
Yeah.
Like, bro, like, the first time I heard Tin Man's name, it was like David Ray telling me, like, bro, I got this kid. He's from Georgia. His name's Tin Man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hold up, bro. I thought I was your guy, bro. Like, what would
you do? And, I mean, what a blessing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, what
absolutely,
a fucking,
dude.
Like,
but that, you know that being a just initial testament to who Tin Man was, and like, you got to get a squint. You got to take a look at this kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to come through repping for Damn It Boy, and me and us just know what Damn It Boy was. And with David Ray just being such a fucking strong entity in this whole fucking industry nowadays, like in the genre that's being created, and the one that he sort of dove into with the songwriting shit, like, bro, what bigger or better cosign could you fucking ask for?
You know what I mean? You know what's crazy about the thing with D-Ray too in the music? D-Ray really only has 1 foot in.
He's still got a paintbrush.
You see what I'm saying? He's still a very successful
he's
business owner. You know what I mean? Like, but, like, that's what's crazy is D-Ray's had the success he has with the songwriting and stuff. And he's really just 1 foot in.
But he's still, a family man, like,
for
like
sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
And that's what's cool about
and the
him.
The paint company's doing great. Like,
he taught me how to grind, like, on some, like, because I've known him now for 10, 12 years, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
you said you helped him build the studio in Dixon.
Yeah, like, he had it.
He ain't even been to it since it got finished.
Since it got finished, as far as like all the way.
I haven't been out there since the flood.
I recorded in the main room. I was in the main room, but the other rooms, you know, the big room wasn't none of that done. But I mean, as far as just sitting in the basement with him and those being ideas, you know what I'm saying? When John come along,
shot
and stuff
to the face.
Like,
that's way back.
But way back, and then he started it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'd leave the basement because I'd stay at his house for.
Where we recorded Money Train?
It definitely is, bro. We recorded Money Train there, and me and Squints went down there a year in 2010 and recorded Save Me.
Save Me. Right. One of the best verses I've ever done.
That basement, man, dude, if you're in Nashville, you had to record in that basement.
But, fun fact.
Yep.
David Wright helped with that verse. I remember.
Oh, yeah. That was I know, because see, Fatboy Swag 1 dropped September of 2010, and we recorded that before that.
Yeah.
So that was mid 2010, maybe. Yeah. That was before Money Train was like a year later. We went over there and recorded Money Train, all of us.
Yeah, that's like the strongest fucking testament through my eyes, like it's just being Squints.
Yeah.
Like just knowing a guy like David Ray has swung for you like that over the years, and just knowing, I know how he swings for people, but for him to like, swing for you in that degree is a whole different discussion, bro.
And swung for him this morning when you talked to him.
Exactly. Yeah. Leading to the discussion this morning because, you know, David Ray and me have a great relationship. We have for so many years, and I love that guy.
I mean, he'll get you shirt off his back. I mean, you can't not.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But I can also see you don't want to fucking get on his bad side either. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
He's one of them. You get one chance to you know,
he's
just always been so solid.
He's just a solid dude, man. And you know, anybody that fucks up a relationship with a solid person like that, I feel like they, you know, they need to be by their damn self anyway. You know what I mean? Because whatever, if you show your colors and that's how you're gonna be to somebody who looks out for you, then that's just what you get. But he's, you know, like I was saying, he damn. As far as my growing up years in music and learning the industry and everything, that was all through experiences with David Ray. Let me tag along and hey man, come you know, come up here. Hey, so and so's coming to the studio to do this. Man, you need to be around him or you need to learn this. You know,
wow.
And like he, you know, a lot of experiences with it. And like I mean, even far just put me on game. And me and him sitting there talking about life. You know what I mean, just kicking it about anything you can want to ask him. You know what I mean, like he's gonna keep it real with you. You know what I'm saying? But he's walked me through like other contracts in Atlanta with deals and stuff, getting me out of contracts in Atlanta that I done screwed up and got in, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I mean he's just a man, dude.
He's a great fucking
be thankful
dude
for that relationship with David. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just he could call me. I live 5.5 hours from where he's at. Like, he's one of them, he can call me in the middle of the night, bro. Like I'm on the way, like in my wife, I mean, if he was to be like, hey, Tin, I need you to come to Nashville, I'd be like, give me 5.5 hours. It's one of them kind of situations. You know, I'm on the way no matter what it would be. You know what I'm saying? But I love his family. You know what I'm saying? Like his mom, I mean, his daughters and his kids and stuff like that.
I mean, hell, you've watched that family grow up.
Yeah, like, I mean, I watched Destiny grow up and, you know, his kids and stuff grow. Hell, I stayed in some of their bedrooms when they'd go, you know, out of town or whatever. I'd be up there, you know, like, all right, you can take Sean's room or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it was just one of them things where we just, you know, became more friends and more just family. Like, hell, I'd come up here and just chill with them just to chill. You know, whether it was even whether I got to work in the studio or not, man, it was just cool to be around that vibe because, like I said, it's not down there where I'm at.
Right.
And you want to be around somebody that's pushing you, you know, pushing you to your lyrics and all this stuff. Hey, man, let me know if I'm slacking on the song. I'm trying to knock you out on the song. You know, like when it comes to verses, it ain't nothing personal or nothing like that, but. Well, the years, my verse to stand the fuck
but
out.
But the years you're talking about, though, bro, are like the years that built him into what he is now. You know what I mean? Awesome like, without witness, those man. Years, dog, like, I mean, that was like the bulk of his, like, inner projects. You know, like the shit that he kept in house. The Damn It Boys stuff was like in house stuff.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. And what's crazy, too, is that I used to think back in the day, because I bought the Burners album in 2003 and I had never in my life heard a white boy rap like David Ray rap.
Nah, he's been my favorite album. Forever.
Like, and when I heard that, like I was when we started making music with him years later, I was like, bro, we're making music with D-Ray from fucking the Burners. Shit. Charlie B.
Yeah.
Charlie P was like 15 back then.
D-Ray get on the track right now and I bet he can kill
him. Still can slap rap. I'm trying to get him a rap verse for my Live Forever album.
Good luck, dog.
Yeah.
Do the hook and the verse and wax your ass on it. You know what I'm saying? Like the way
he did a hook for me like less than a year ago.
His mind, man, like we'll sit down in the studio and he'll just let me hear stuff and we're down there and I'm like, dude, and you know, nothing ever happened with it. It's just these ideas. I'm like, bro, like your mind works. I couldn't come up with none of that shit.
He has no fucking,
like Danny Rich. I don't know if y'all fuck with Danny Rich or whatever. He was like, bro, he's a Nate Dogg of our era. You're like, you know, it's coming.
Yeah,
back,
we've
back
said that for years. That's so funny you say that. We say the same thing. Like he's literally the Nate Dogg of Nashville.
Of Nashville, of what we do. You know, you know, and like I tell people, I'm like, man, I'm nobody. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to what I do, there's people that got bigger platforms. They're on tour. They're doing shows and shit like that. I was like, but my little speck of platform and what I got, bro, like, don't nobody hold a candle to D-Ray when it comes to, you know, him in my career and what I got. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to the point where I can damn go in there and lay a big stack of cash on fucking D-Ray's desk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to be like, boom, here you go, bro. This is from nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just because I fuck with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's no telling with the people in Nashville and the bills this man's paid and helped people that, you know, when they needed it. And they don't ask for nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing right there. You don't ask for shit. If he gets you over there to create, bro, 99% of the time, bro, he wants you there to create.
Because he loves the shit.
And those conversations take you to that moment. And it's just like, no, you know, those conversations handle themselves in the back end. You know what I'm saying? Like, he believes in people. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he brings artists over there, bro, and talks that shit, he believes in that artist.
If he's letting you over there to record with, he fucks with you, man. And he'll give you, you know, the shirt off his back when he fucks with you. But like I say, man, he did so
my
much.
Point of that conversation.
Yeah, that went kind of way out there.
It's fine.
You know, but at the same
because
time,
David Ray's a great human being.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to take it there, but I just want the whole fucking world to know. That motherfucker.
My point of the conversation is that even though, like, if he invites you over to work, that's one thing. But if he fucking signs you, dog, that's a different fucking discussion. And this guy, he fucking signed. David Ray fucking with Damn It Boy Entertainment took 10 man and said, bruh, we gonna make this work. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a different type of testament towards him and you. You know what I'm saying? Because he ain't doing that for everybody.
And, you know, and that comes up too. The funny thing about the whole Damn It Boy thing, when the label popped off, it was one of, you know, he was like, well, of course you're going to be one of the artists. It wasn't even a thing like that. But, you know, I never signed any paperwork with them at all.
It's like a handshake.
Oh, fun fact.
It was on damn, it was more on some handshakes type shit. You know, me and David Ray just was like, look, bro, we're going to do music. We're going to fucking get paid off of it. You know what I'm saying? I got you. You got me. Let's do what we got to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of how and it's always been like that with me and him. It ain't never been no kind of paperwork. He ain't never sat down nothing with a pen and made me sign anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just always been on the love. And that lets another thing lets you know really how he is. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to do that for everybody now. You know what I mean? But at the same time, man, it's one of them friendships that we developed through back in the day when all them Chess Move mixtapes Nationwide were going. D-Ray.
Yeah.
And it blew. You know, he was like, hey, bro, like, you're really good. I need a damn, I fuck with you. So why don't now when you come to Nashville, bro, start hitting me up and you don't we get hotels and shit no more, bro. You staying with me.
Mm.
I was like, well, cool, run it. You know, that's how I started damn coming up here and getting around people. You know,
best place to do it.
We need to pull up on, bro, man.
I talked to him this morning. I literally, though, in reference to Tim Man pulling up this morning, we've had you booked now for a while. Like, this has been going for a while.
I just didn't know how to advertise. I didn't know how y'all's marketing shit was.
No, I love it. We just moved, bro. You know what I mean?
We don't want damn fuck y'all's marketing and be like, shame, quit sharing that shit.
No. Shame on us for the way we move, but we work so hard, we just let them go. We just let them roll, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I get it. Yeah.
If we have time and inspiration or opportunity to create little things here and there prior or during or after or upcoming episodes, we try to.
Yeah.
Interns, sign up. LLC's intact. We are taking applications. Fuck it. But with all that being said, no, we were anxious to fucking have you, and I have literally missed conversations with David Ray leaning up to this sit down today, but yeah. not in reference with you, just because me and David Ray have a fucking great conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I couldn't help but fucking mention this morning in me and David's conversation that Tin Man was pulling up today and that I was excited for Tin Man to pull up. And David Ray said, oh, he was here last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not coming to town without seeing D-Ray.
You know what I mean? But I mean, obviously, as I made that comment to D-Ray, it's not like, hey, tell me about y'all's current situation. Yeah. It was literally like, oh man, speaking of which, your boy Tin Man's pulling up, bro. We, you know, we've been excited to have him. He goes, man, yeah, shout out Tin Man. He was here last night. And it's like, I didn't expect anything else though. Yeah. You follow what I'm saying? Because like you said, bro, he's just a one of a kind, man, a creative genius. And
he really is.
The accolade that comes with a guy like him signing you, even if it was a particular point of his career or a different scenario or different people involved, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Because I like you, and I know like Chad and one value his opinion like in so many ways. Yeah. Like, goddamn, boy, just to have that guy say, you know, I had a label at one time. I had a few artists. One of them's name was Tin Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck, I wish I could hear that.
Like, later in life when he, because, you know, this is just the beginning for people like D-Ray and Jelly, you know, the stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just going to keep blowing and blowing. And I hope one day they damn need me for the documentary. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool with whatever flowers that they get, man, because, like, when you've seen it and you watched them damn grind to get it and everything that comes along with it, you know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, I was up here for this shit. You know what I'm saying? They can't take nothing away from them as far as you can not like them or you can, I always say you can not like it, but you got to respect it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to like it, but you got to respect what the fuck they did. They're doing it. They cracked the code. Everybody's been trying to do it. I'm not fucking doing it. Man, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just sitting.
If anybody's going to do it, I prefer to be goddamn D-Ray.
Absolutely.
Bro. Solid motherfuckers. It's people like that, right, that I like to see.
They deserve it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They really are out here, damn.
I'm tired of talking about them.
Pull up, D-Ray. We need to pull up on them, man.
Every once in a while, we got to pull the plug off this conversation because he has yet to pull up over here. And that's how our conversations always end on the telephones. Shout out to telephones.
Yeah.
He knows he owes me about 5 sit downs at this point. Because I love.
He's so fucking busy, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't damn.
I got one for you. So who's Tin Man riding around listening to?
On the way from Georgia to here, what y'all listen to?
Hell, honestly, all kind of stuff. Well, I'm talking about some old shit we had playing. Hell, we had fucking Haystack playing. I listen to damn country, everything. So
what new do you listen to any like newer rap? Do you have anything? Not really. More like old.
I fuck with like Doobie and shit like that. I still like lyrics, lyricists and shit like that. Like, I like Caskey and Yella and stuff like that. Like, I listen to those guys. I mean, I like Ritz and shit. Like, I've always been a fan of Ritz.
Shout out Ritz.
Yeah, Ritz is a beast.
I think it's so. I asked you this off camera right before we started, but shout out Jackie Moon. Like I said before, he was here earlier this afternoon, and I was bringing him up to speed with a little bit of Tin Man's previous music, stuff that was available on YouTube. We were literally jumping around. Mm-hmm. And we went as far as like something that was posted 10 months ago, something, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, and then 6 years ago, 9 years ago, you know, like a big chunk in between. But what was interesting to me is that during one of the records, and you can tell me which one, because we watched it off camera before, it was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. When you're in the film, you're in the field and the band's out there the lot of roosters and shit. But Jackie Moon made the comment to me as I said, you know, Tin Man's pulling up today. And, you know, damn it, boy, you know, that's David Ray. That's, you know, that's that whole thing. And I said, you know, but he ain't made music in a little while and he's starting to get back into it. Awesome that he is, you know. He goes, oh, this ain't new. And I said, nah, bro, look, it's 6 years old. He said, damn. And y'all got to know Jackie Moon and his character
for me
to tell y'all how this sounds. Like him, but he was genuinely surprised with the comment. He didn't understand that what he was watching and what he was hearing was so old as to what, because Jackie Moon, shout out Jackie Moon, he taps the fuck in.
Really?
You know what I mean? As far as this country rap shit.
Yeah,
You know, he's a huge fan of Leroy. But, you know, as far as church or like, you know, a lot of that, Adam Calhoun, you know, there's a million other ones we could name, I'm sure.
Yeah. Outside but, Looking In is the song you're talking about, the video you're talking about.
Oh, okay, dope.
You know what I mean? And see, those guys, I listen to them guys, you know, as well, because they're also, I mean, obviously in my lane. And you know what I'm saying? And I kind of, well, I feel like, I'm in their lane. I should say their lane. It's not my damn lane.
Yeah.
They run in the fucking lane. You know, I'm blessed to be here. You know what I mean? But it's, you know, I listen to those guys, you know, as well to see what's going on. Because to me, I don't know. It's something to say when you're in that lane, because there's something to say because there's not much to say in that lane.
Yeah.
When it comes to how many albums you can put out in that genre, and how many times you can talk about mudbogging and doing the country shit that we do. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't change that much. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always like, oh shit, what's he going to say? What's going on? Because I listen to lyrics, obviously. I'm not a beat guy. I'm more of a, what the fuck's he going to say? Do I want to listen to this guy? Did he fall behind on the beat? Is he on time? What the hell's he saying?
Well, that forced you to be more creative.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm that kind of guy. So I respect the guys that are still in that lane, still getting revenue and popping in that shit, because there's only so many mudbogs you can, you know, talk about, you know what I'm saying, before you damn got to come up with something else. And they're doing it, you know what I'm saying? They're staying creative in it, you know what I'm saying?
But some of them are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel you on that. I damn come from more of a street urban side of it, you know what I'm saying?
But that's
the country rap with you, bro. You rap your ass off, dog. Yeah. You can talk that street
Shit is something. Your shit it reminds me of something different than what's going on now.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree.
It's like, who was that, man? Who was that back in the day, man? Like, I ain't gonna say Napa, around the Napa Roots time. It was some what's the button?
For me, the Nappy Roots and stuff was, that was country rap back then.
For
you know what I'm saying? Nappy Roots and shit was the ones who was putting it on.
From the consumer standpoint, dude, I love, well,
man, what's brand name, man?
Bro, you're tripping right now.
No, dead ass.
Where are they from, Atlanta?
I think they from Georgia.
He was a big fan of Phil Mob.
Phil Mob, there they go.
What's crazy is Tin Man was talking about that.
Yeah.
Me and Tin was talking about how much we love Phil Mob. I love Phil Mob's first album. Classic.
From down in Albany.
Albany.
A little bit further south than I'm at. If you look at Atlanta on the map, I'm 45 minutes like straight down.
Gotcha.
Right, and then they're a little bit further, I believe.
South they were Georgia. Fire. Smoke, and Sean Jay, I think is who it was.
Yeah.
But they signed to DTP. Definitely.
It's that feel. That shit is raw, but it's still country. You know?
Lyrical. Too, we've talked about this in the past. We hit it. I think when we kept doing the same shit, and then somebody said the word twang. And it's like, you're right, it's got the twang to it. Yeah. And that's kind of like a word that kind of described Field Mob in that conversation. We finally landed on that word. Mm-hmm. But what I love about Tin Man is the cadence. You know, when Tin Man's cadence got that, y'all hear it in his voice, just in his natural ability to talk. Like, you hear that raspy, he's got like a raspier tone to him. Mm-hmm. But when you portray that in your lyrics and stuff, dude, it you hear pain in a lot of the you're projecting pain, it's like it's felt more, you know what I mean? Because your lyric, like you said, like,
voice,
but still, at the same time, it's like one, you know, and Chad gets in his bag with that same shit.
Yeah,
everybody has, every like seasoned artist has a particular cadence that they can tap into that it's just like a natural cadence, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's what I'm trying to say, that I admire from your music, even back, but that's 9 years ago content up to the stuff that was just months old, you know what I'm saying? One, you didn't age a day, bro.
Well, I appreciate that, boy, because I so feel like
none of y'all motherfuckers are aging today. Only thing with Chatty is his beard got great. But it's crazy from that aspect, but you still sound the same. But I told you this off camera, is like, you were tapped into this country rap shit before there was really a discussion about the country rap shit. You know what I mean? Like, it really wasn't, like, a lot of people try to categorize this show as that lane, and just because of the people we associate with, Leroy being a part of the show, the guests we've had, whatever. But we're a music podcast. Luckily, we associate with a lot of people in that genre. Whatever works. But it's gave me a lane and an ability to tap into a lot of these artists, you know, and like, I wish that as through the development of this genre, I wish Tin Man was still a part of this discussion.
Tin Man does too.
I really think though, you're in a position to be right back in that discussion.
As long as you keep doing it, bro.
As far as the music goes, there's no way you can miss Tin, for real, bro. Like, it's there.
My thing is too, when I hear country rap, I don't even talk. I'm not even talking about the rap that's like mudbogs, and that's hick hop to me. Country rap is like what Broadnax does, what Adam does, what you do, Church, Leroy.
Love that.
I'm saying like that to me is like country rap. Even what I do on certain songs, or what, because a lot of it is the beats. And we're Southern. So like, just like Pimp C was talking about country rap tunes in 2000.
Shout out to the Pimp, man.
Yeah, R.I.P. Pimp. That's my favorite rapper of all time.
It's the fault.
But like, that's what I look at it like. Like, there's the country rap, and then there's that, what they call hick-hock, where it's everything is trucks, tractors, mud. So it's like the content is kind of based like that.
See, my kind of...
And yours is lyrical, bro.
Like, I guess it'd be like a yellow wood kind of thing, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm more
wordplay
seasoned to, like, growing up around, like, it was country as fuck, you know, trailers. We was out in the middle of dirt road living and shit like that. But also, like, drugs and meth labs and fucking domestic violence and shit that, you know, basically the same fucking shit you're going to go through in the hood is the same shit we're going through out here in the country. But it was just my way of being like, okay, I need to tell them my side of the story too. Like,
absolutely.
I'm not in the hood. I ain't trying to, you know, say, but of course, hell, we moved to the hood too. We lived there too. After all that shit, when they lose this house, you got to go where you got to go. You ain't got to, you know.
I'm glad you touched on that though. Let's stay in there for a little second, man, because a lot of people don't understand that the similarities.
Comparison between the hood and the sticks.
Between the hood and the sticks. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is basically the same thing. You got the private, you got the poverty, you know what I'm saying? You got the hard times, you got the drugs, you know what I'm saying?
You got defects are coming to get the kids, but bills is not paid over there either. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit can go crazy at any time.
Baby mama tripping.
Wood stoves to heat the crib.
Oh, yeah, we let the stove down and let it just do its thing in the morning. Shit, mama would
put
a kitchen chair there, she'd put our socks or whatever.
You see what I'm saying? Come on, man. The same shit, man. The same shit.
And the thing too, like, perfect example, the first song I ever heard Tin Man on was 85 Cutlass with Worm. That is nowhere close. R.I.P. Whistle. That is nowhere close to country rap.
That's wild.
Then I heard him on two songs on Legacy's Moment of Truth album. And you snapped on both those. Shout out to Legacy. Y'all,
shout out
like,
to Legacy.
Those are not like.
But see, that's another shout artist that I listen to that, like, man.
Bro, he's one of my favorite rappers.
Dude. What?
Yeah, we talked about
it.
Legacy's my problem, man. We're doing it. We're doing an EP. You have to get on it.
I sit here in my position and I say, why ain't he doing this? And then people are saying the same thing about me. So I can't can't say nothing. I'm doing the same thing. So.
Legacy can do everything too, bro. He edits
our
music.
He really can.
He does graphics. He does cut. It's my dog, man.
Yeah, man. I talked to him for a little second, man. He talking about coming up there, and I don't know about that.
Oh, Colorado?
Because the flight, it's a beautiful place.
No, because it's cold as shit.
It is fucking cold.
The pictures of it don't look pleasant. They look miserable, don't they?
Man, I'm telling you, man.
I'm just cold.
That's how that conversation came up, too. I mentioned it was a picture of somebody. It was a picture of somebody up there. And I made a couple. Probably, I think it was Rookie.
Yeah,
shout out Rookie. You just did a song with Rookie. Dope song, Rookie.
Shout out to Rookie.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. It's cold. And I said, man, they don't look. They're trying to look happy in the picture. And I was like, they look miserable. Like, it's cold as shit over there.
And they look far from everything else.
I got a picture with Legacy when me and Mark Gray, shout out South Nashville.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
When we went to Red Rocks, Legacy met us at the show. You know what I mean? I got to hang out with Legacy a little bit. That was the first time I ever got to meet him in real life, fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Legacy.
Yeah, shout out that guy. Bubble. But exactly that. It's so fucking cold there, bro. I had to go outside and smoke and shit, and I smoked cigarettes too, and that was, bro.
That's Colorado cold.
I'll say this.
I'm cool with Nashville.
Beautiful
cold.
Place though.
That's
beautiful
Colorado cold.
Absolutely,
that's
like stunning.
Different.
Like that place is different. You know what I mean? Like just the visuals are crazy.
I'll say this.
It ain't worth the cold, bro.
I'll say this too on the podcast. If Legacy lived in Tennessee,
he'd be showing proof.
He would be a big part of what, because he already is.
Yeah.
But it's just he lives in Colorado.
Yeah.
And salute to them because they got a great thing going up there. You know, salute to him and his family. But that's the homie, dog.
I just said it. He'd be showing proof.
Me and Squints already talked about that multiple times.
We really have. Mm-hmm. Shout out Legacy. We love that guy.
But we got an EP coming for sure called Highlight Reel. It's going to be the name of the EP.
It's going to be dope. Yeah, I'll jump get on for there. Sure, but so, yeah, it's definitely going to be dope.
I got another one for you. So is it somebody that you want to work with, man, that you got your eyesights on? Like, damn, I got to get a song done with that motherfucker?
Yeah.
Obviously, David Ray. I want to work with him. You know, whenever I get to
okay, we can't count that, right? But, that's the fam.
Yeah, you worked with him yesterday.
Last night.
But I mean, I'd like to work with Jelly again, which I know that's out of reach. But I have before.
Not necessarily.
You know, cool. You never know. So I fuck with him. I want to work Up Church. Yeah. I want to work with Leroy, man.
Shout out Church.
We can make that happen for sure. That's your Leroy. Yeah, if he wasn't at a show in Kentucky, he'd be here right now.
Just because, I mean, I feel like we're on the same kind of vibe, you know,
for sure.
You know how we.
That kid's a prodigy, bro.
You know what I mean? Oh, he's good. You know what I mean? And I just want to make good music, man. Like, that's all I'm after now. I'm on the grown man shit, dude. I just want to make good music and do it because I got a passion for it again now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When before, you know, ego and shit kind of steps in the way. When you get into music deep, man, you get a lot of people around you, the entourages and shit, and the people, you know, other people on the label, man, you know, can kind of poison you a little bit and get in your ear. Yep. And once negativity gets in there, man, and spreads, man, it's just poison.
Yep.
You know, say one drop of bad blood, you know what I'm saying? Ruin the whole well. And it spreads through stuff. And back then, I didn't have my shit right. I was like, okay, Tin Man, I'm good at rapping, and that's all I need to do. You know what I mean? That's all I need to know. That's all it is. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to be rich and famous, and that's how it's going to be, you know?
Yeah.
Well, fucking
bro, that's fast a, forward. That's you know what we all thought. I mean, we all thought the same thing.
But you fast
thing.
Forward and you're like, man, I didn't learn nothing I should have learned with none of those experiences. I didn't soak them up. I didn't live
I wasted
in
my 20s, you know, for sure. Like, I didn't waste it.
I didn't live in there. Like, but, even sitting here, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the moment I got to soak up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I might not do music again fucking next week or something, but I need to.
You probably learn more than you realize right now.
Yeah.
I think it comes with the age, man.
Getting back in the game, I didn't realize how much I knew from back then that keeping me away from doing the shit now.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You just take it for granted that you already know it, and like you don't think. I did learn it back then.
It taught me to stay away from that shit.
Yeah. When you get a business mind about you, you start making a little bit better moves and shit, and.
Yeah, the perspective of life just shifts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as you grow older, and you, not that I know anything, but as you grow older, you just come to realize, like, the important things. Like, we hear about these things as we grow up, and we think it's just old man talk. Yeah. And it kind of is. But it's like once your brain develops to, like, this certain stagnant point, like, it's like you're finally there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like from a business aspect, from a creative aspect, from, like, a longevity aspect, like, any types of these type conversations, you have such like a clearer mind of the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you have, and the biggest part of the discussion is time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because we talk about like time maybe being wasted, mm-hmm. or time we didn't execute the right way, or you know what I mean, missed opportunities, or mm-hmm. this kind of thing. But once you stop thinking about like missed or past time and start thinking about the future time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's that old saying. It's that shift, man, and it brings a lot of things in the world to a different perspective. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think this show is a perfect example of that. Like the conversations we have about it are just, you know, with our kids and shit, you know, you being a family man,
family man,
or with your business, or like a project, you know, like the trucks you work on, you know, these are projects, man, that take
financial
time,
investment, you know,
and they take time,
time,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But not only from being a great father or a great husband, or, you know, wanting to get back into the music and committing to that now and get back into the game. You still got to find time for that truck.
Yeah.
Still, you know what I mean?
It's a truck. Mm-hmm.
Still got
to,
you know what I mean? Like,
that's going to be bad.
Oh, dude. Tap in. The timeline shit is we mentioned. But to tap into that sort of stuff as you as a person, Tim, man, I think it's so important with you getting back into the game now.
Yeah.
Is to just make sure that motherfuckers are aware that you are not new to this.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like I say, I got to pay my dues again because people are kind of like, who is this guy? You know, where's he been?
Say this shit again.
You know, I got to start over. I got to pay the dues again. To me, in my mind, it's back to going to the streets and handing out CDs, where now, of course, it's not that. It's just social media.
It's the social media streets.
You said, time. You got to make time.
The shit I saw you doing.
You got to pay the mortgage, too, though. You know what I'm saying? You got to fucking pay the bills. So it's like, damn, I need to make sure my steady incomes is surplus and, you know, before I didn't go fuck it off and, you know, mess it all up. You know what I'm saying? So right now, it's kind of like we're talking about grown man shit, bro.
What he was talking about, too, with the time, like, in my 20s, bro, all I was focused on was, like, I got to make money. I was focused on money. And then when I look back now and realize that all the stuff that I maybe regret from back then, it's never money that I spent.
Mm-hmm.
It's always time that I wasted that I regret.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I wasted time on that shit. Like,
it's crazy, right?
It's never the money now that I'm like, oh, yeah, time is way more important than money. It's because when you're younger, you just think you got so much of it left
that you're
like, money's like what you're constantly after. It's like a dragon you keep chasing.
Running around with a fat chunk of time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
A monkey knot of time,
now,
bro.
Now it's different. You know what I mean? Now I look at time like it's damn like, fuck, bro. Like, when I talk about that 40 word, it's like, even with the life expectancy, that means I'm halfway done with this ride.
Start thinking, man, I got soft, man. What the fuck? I'm starting to think.
Oh, that's
it. Oh, he's talking about, damn, I got soft.
That's the shit, bro.
You over here thinking like that?
Damn,
for
I let
hell
that
no,
shit ride.
Yeah, I'm talking about that. Yeah. You're like, damn, man, I ain't supposed to think like that.
Them girls, bro. Them fucking kids, dog.
Girl,
and then and having, like we were talking about off camera, bro, when I hit the reset on the kids, bro, and had another one. You know what I mean? I got an 11-year-old, and then or 17, 11, and then now about to be 3. But when that 3-year-old hit, bro, it was like, damn, we're gonna run it back. Fuck it, let's go. You know what I mean? We do it. But as this kid is growing up, bro, and like you're saying, like all these, your head starts thinking different. Like you start, like even to be able to portray the things I portray on this microphone, bro. 10 years ago, even as a rapper, I would not have been able to bounce this ball up and down the court. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's like a maturity that's evolved in my brain that allows me to sit here and just talk my fucking shit and know that I'm making sense, to know that I've been around the block a couple times to tell you about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shit slows down a little bit. You know what I mean? You can see shit better. You can peep shit better.
Better perspective.
I know not to fuck with that motherfucker. Man. Know what's going to happen over there. Know not to do this right here. You know what I'm saying?
But I cringe every time I go back and I see videos from like 2008, 2010, just looking at how 15 years younger Chad used to act.
Just a minute ago, when I was going through all my old shit.
Like, what a loser. I privatized the old block. I'm like,
shout out to three XTs, man. Shout out to three XTs with the baggage of bows.
One come waddling across the screen in a dress.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody has a franchise voice.
Big, long ass shit. All right. Yeah, lucky I didn't lean and rock on your head.
I think though, like from the grown man perspective, dog. Shout franchise boys. I think that's one advantage that you is to have sight on that, to know what you've been through, and to know what it's like to take time off and to evolve to what is a respectable fucking dude that you know. So many people. Like it, like you said, as far as doing collaborations, like we talk about who you're collaborated with recently, and then like your relevancy, taking time off and then coming back, like to come back and still be relevant, even to have the slightest bit of relevancy, bro, speaks for your past work. Yeah. But to as you strive forward, like to not lose sight of that, to know that you pertain something enough that carried over into that pause, however long it was. How long did you step away?
3 years.
Shit, that's a gap, bro.
I think it's three.
To step away from 3 years and motherfuckers still click that name or click that video or whatever, saying, bro, I remember him.
Yeah.
Last single you dropped was 2020 on your Apple Music, I noticed. That's it, so it's about 3 years.
So 3 years, since I've really focused on it and messed with anything, you know what I mean? But we go back to time when when I was really grinding and into it and doing the shit, like dad passed away in the middle of it. Just like
life happens.
Your life happens. So when dad passed away, hell, until then, I had no kind of damn like death in the family to really hit me or nothing like that. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh shit, my dad was only 56. Bro, and it was real unexpected. Like 1 minute, like Thursday, we was working at my house together. He was AC, done heat and air, and we was working at the house. Hell, Saturday, I got a phone call that his nose started bleeding. He was going to the doctor, try to get his nose quit bleeding. Never came back from hospital. 5 days later, boom, done.
Oh my God, bro. Man, I'm sorry.
Once that hit me, you know what I'm saying? And I'm 30 years old, dad wasn't married to nobody. I had to handle everything as a, you know, being 30, you know what I'm saying? And I was the oldest kid, pretty much, you know, out of the oldest kids. So I had to handle everything. You know, like all of a sudden it was thrown on me. I guess that's when maybe
that
grew
shift.
Up. You know, the shift happened and I realized, oh shit, Tien, you don't got all this fucking time you think you've got. You know what I'm saying? Dad would try to talk to me about, hey, look, man, when something happens to me, I want to do this. I'm like, man, dude, you're 50 years old. I ain't trying to hear that shit right now. We can talk about that later, you know? Like, nah, we ain't doing that, you know, but I should have listened. Real shit, you know what I mean? But at the same time, that kind of hit me like, okay, dang. Dad's gone for real.
This
like,
shit I ain't promised.
What the world? Yeah. And I start thinking about all the time I done already missed with my kids. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, I've got an 18-year-old and I've got a 16-year-old and then I've got a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So I'm the same situation. And it's like all the time I miss with Ansley and Reese that I should have been with them, you know what I'm saying? Like the holidays and the birthdays and stuff. But I was chasing a dream. It was all, I had the best of intentions. It wasn't me out fucking off. Nobody get that twisted. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I never tried to do nothing like that. But at the same time, I was really trying to grind to chase the dream so we could be rich, you know what I'm saying? To get us out of where we was at. And I missed so much, you know what I'm saying? Just being on the road.
Yeah.
And you start looking.
It goes back to the money and time thing when you're talking about.
I wasn't even making no money. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was I doing? Like, I can't believe my wife stuck around for this shit. I can't believe she let me come up here all the time and do this and realize, you know, like, this boy's up here trying to be.
Shout out to her.
It's almost like a mirage, bro. Like, you see it up there, but you get where you think you're close and then it's not even there.
She is an educated woman, like a teacher, you know what I'm saying? Who's, you know.
Yeah, shout out to her.
Shout out to Ryan. My wife, boy, she's something else.
It's not often I meet people that's been together with their old lady longer than me and Amy been together.
Yeah, bro.
Like, he flexed on me. He had a couple years. And I was like, damn, dog. Like,
and she's held me down from the jump. You know what I mean? It's one of the things that, you know, she's been there through all the stupid moves, all the dumb investments, all the shit I'm going to do and didn't work out. She held it down.
That's real, though. She's a rider.
She's held it down, dude. But like I say, I fell back because of all that. A lot of things, you know what I'm saying? I can't blame one thing. You know, it's a lot of things. Like we said,
life, bro.
Life.
Plus, you got to go what pays the bills, man.
But losing that hit me hard, bro. Like, it's totally relatable to a sense. And at the same time, like, I know what death can do to your mind.
Absolutely.
And, like, as far as, I also know what type of drive it can create in your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, ultimately, I lost my pops this last November.
Yeah.
And
recent, so yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But you talk
about
for sure. But you talk about a shift in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like, even from a perspective of being a father, or just like, not so much as I'm not a business owner, unfortunately, but when we talk about this podcast, we talk about Show and Prove as a company. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's when, like, Chad, I know Chad can contest for these conversations. Like, I mentally went through something to where it just broadened my perspective on this thing we call life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But ultimately this thing we call time.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's when I start incorporating all that sort of shit in, it feels like I work so much harder now, but I feel so much better about the time I'm doing. You know what I mean?
The time is better invested now
exactly.
than before.
Exactly. It's so much better invested. Like, when we talk about in our 20s and being artists,
not
just being
fucking
dumb,
it
off.
Being
fucking it
off. There's a lot of remorse for that time. Like, buyer's remorse almost. You go through buyer's remorse. Well, now it's like, I don't have that when I go in. If I know I've been gone this weekend, I feel like I'm doing this because now the passion's back.
You got that done. You got something done.
The passion's back here, and I'm
checking
shit
off.
Done, and I'm trying. And now that my kids are a little bit older, they're kind of understanding, hey, you know.
They got their own lives and stuff.
They got their
own
lives
friends
and stuff.
And
they're like, you know, sometimes they'll be like, man, you had shit going for you a little bit. Didn't you, back.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, yeah, you know, but hey, I chilled. You know what I'm saying? Life happens. Right. And we ain't got a normal job. You know what I'm saying? But like we were talking about earlier, hell, wanted to be a rapper because I grew up so bad. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to growing up, like just being poor, being told, no, hey, we ain't got it. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be a rapper to get the big house and the cars and do all the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like that everybody else was doing. And then I realized, hell, I'm a hard worker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to work my ass off. You ain't got to worry about me taking no debt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to work.
Yeah.
And it's, so I was like, I'm going to hustle. I'm going to work. I'm getting money by any means. I'm not going to be broke when it comes to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I refuse to do that shit.
I got to figure that part out. I'm still broke.
I'll fuck the re-up up. Don't get me wrong. I'll fuck the money up now, but I'm bouncing back. I'm going harder. You know, if it takes me working sun up to sundown, boom, 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 because I need to make X amount of dollars per week, then that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what a lot of people don't understand about the music is until your music supplementing that, you can't, you know, getting in there with what you're bringing in, I got to pay a mortgage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got kids that are trying to go to college. You know what I'm saying? And until shit goes viral or somebody starts fucking shoot money this way, then that's just what I got to do. You know what I mean? And I know my fan base because I tell stories about what I'm going through and, you know, and I put myself in
other
people's
shoes. Very relatable
topics. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to put myself in people's shoes too and tell their story.
It's good shit.
And so you can understand what I'm going through. So people don't, I don't think my fan base holds it against me as much. The people that fuck with me.
It's more you doing it to yourself kind of shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't hold it against me. They're wanting music and it's me. Not putting out the product they want, but at the same time, hell, I'm my biggest critic too, and I'm a perfectionist, and I'll put myself on writer's block quick because I'm like, hold on, nah, bro, that shit ain't gonna work. They don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Or somebody will say, yeah, you sound good, but you kind of sound old. You know, you sound like how T.I. used to come or something. They'll say something like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, damn, man, I ain't never gonna fucking, damn, I want to listen to that. Cause, you know, I ain't auto tuning none of my shit. You know what I'm saying?
You get in your head,
and next thing you know, you got a writer's block. Or next thing you know, you got this badass verse, and the fucking hook sucks, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, so I can put myself in one of those modes, which now that I'm grown, I'm trying to just do music when I feel it, ride the wave. Like me and D-Ray, hate to bring it up again, but you know, we were talking about, you know, you got to ride that wave when you get in that pocket. Now, at the time I'm at in my life, if I get a creative wave and I'm in the studio for 3 days straight or something like that, he's like, you got to ride it, man. That's what you want to do. Whether you get 10 minutes and you're coming up with shit that you've never come up with in your life, or you're getting 5 days straight.
I've always worked.
Ride that motherfucker while you got it, because you don't know when it's going to go away again.
Yes,
because, and you don't mean for it to. Like, and
that's made to a T, bro.
In my head, I get where I'm like, damn, bro, I shouldn't even fucking be a rapper if I ain't got something coming up on my head every fucking day. Like, pop, 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 pop. Like, but then again, I'll sit and I'll come up with like 4 songs that'll be like some of the hardest shit I've ever thought of. You know what I'm saying?
That's me, dude.
But then, hell, you'll know this too as an artist. You mess around, let that bitch sit for 6 months, and then you don't like it no more. And then all of a sudden, it ain't the hardest shit you've ever done no more. And you're like, I don't even think I'm going to put it out. I'm going to keep it in the vault.
Y'all are flexing now. I'm the worst. Oh, y'all are flexing a little bit now.
I'll just be like, nah, bro, I ain't putting this shit out, man. Fuck that. They ain't going to like this. I got to think of something else.
Man, if that motherfucker ain't. Right, and I ain't even talking about the industry standards or the other people's standards.
Yeah.
If that motherfucker ain't right to my ear, if I don't hear that motherfucker, I'm like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
I hold on to that bitch.
Yeah.
And the money. I mean,
mine too. Like, I'll go 3 months without writing a verse, bro, because I'll just be stuck. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get in a pocket where I'll write like
an
album and a half.
We just talked about this recently about as far as Chad's writer's block goes.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at now. And I mean, I'll get out of it. I'm not stressing it, but like that, it's the same way.
Yeah.
And I mean, peaks and valleys type shit. I'm just glad you're back, dog.
I'm glad you're back.
We're glad that you pulled up.
I'm glad to be back. I feel like I'm like, damn, I'm back. Like,
it feels like never left.
What does I'm back mean?
Whatever that may mean, I'm just glad you're doing music.
What does it mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, it's weird to hear that
back for the first time.
Yeah, like wow, supposed to be back. And I'm like, damn, I'm supposed to be back. We got to come up with some good shit,
Christopher
like,
Bridges.
We got to come up with some shit. But like, you know, I want to work with some dope ass artists that are up here popping right now. I really, and I understand I got to pay my dues and get my shit back popping so they'll pay attention to me.
I think a lot of them be anxious to answer the damn
phone again. A lot of people don't answer the phone. You know, I took some time off. I got to build relationships again. But
you got to wake them back up.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to come hard on some shit and damn, really just do me again. Like, get away from trying to make the hit records, to get the deals, to do all the stuff. Like, I'm just going to do me again and focus on me. And luckily, been blessed enough to where we can make money and invest in my craft a little bit now.
What's the label situation?
With Damn It Boy? I don't have no label.
Oh, so you're what are you moving with moving forward?
Well, right now, I'm going to learn how to work TikTok. It looks like shit. I mean, what you got to learn.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, man.
TikTok is really, like, it's looking like from where I'm at now, I've got plenty of songs sitting in the vault. You know, I've purchased the beats and shit. Like, I got all my stuff together in that area, but I need to get the content going. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And where I live at, like, man, I'm in, like, when I tell y'all I'm in the country, like, I'm in the sticks, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even have, like, internet where I'm at.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't want y'all to think I live.
my kids will go crazy over
here. Yeah, for real. Bro, we can't go to your house, bro.
We can't do shit in my house. I can't even send an email.
They ain't got no Wi-Fi?
I'll say this. However we can help
let us know. We will help you.
For sure. And I know y'all will, man. And that's, just like I said, back to being blessed, man. Like, I've just been super lucky and blessed, man. Like, to have the little bit of every story of my life, man, of anything cool that's happened to me has been because of music. You know what I mean? And the stuff I've got to see traveling around chasing the dream has all been because of music. You know what I'm saying? It ain't been because of nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been because, hell, you get an idea and you're just like, I'm chasing it, bro. I'm going to go at it. And you get lucky like I got, and you meet some good people, man, that'll help you out. You're going to meet some bad people, too. Don't get me wrong.
No,
it's going to take all your damn money.
You're going to meet more bad than good.
When they say pay your dues, that's what the fuck they mean, really. They mean you got to go lose a bunch of fucking money and then come back, and then they'll fuck with you. But until you lost all that money, they're like, you ain't paid your dues, bro. You know, that's kind of what they're meaning. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're meaning you got to go in and do what you got to do, man, to get it. I just, like I said, I fell back. Because of stuff going on in life.
Real life shit.
And now it's like, okay,
Grown
you
got to
learn
like
the game again. Because like you said, I fell off at a bad time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like for...
I think it was the worst timing. Same for you. Yeah, it's the worst timing.
I had a mental break at the worst possible time. I was at the height.
Terrible time, dude. Yeah.
But it's what... Yeah. But so if I didn't...
I think all of us...
I wouldn't have made it. I would have... It would have been over with.
Yeah. I think it's necessary. You know what I mean? You had to regroup. You know what I mean? You had to regroup. Everybody... I totally understand all of it. It doesn't... I don't think it's frowned upon, nor is it like something to be ashamed of personally. I'm glad to see the stories like the three you guys pertain. You know what I mean? But in this particular scenario, you particularly, man, because I was a fan. I was curious. And then to see you get back at it, because I know as far as the podcast goes, bro, check your DMs on that info, because I know I hit you early with this, bro. It wasn't just as of recently. It was like a long time ago where I hit 10, man, was like, bro, whenever it works best for you, let us know. We'll make it happen.
And even then, when you hit me, you know, it was on some, which hell, I mean, it was another hell dumbass, you know what I'm saying? Like, people really fuck with you. You need to get out there and try to do something for these people. And like, I was like, man, it don't matter if a couple people listen right now. You know, at the point I'm at in life, you know what I'm saying? Like, if a couple people listen, I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good.
I love that.
I don't have to depend on
that's what you gotta that's the way you gotta look at it.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Like, the revenue doesn't matter anymore. Like, trying, of course, I never made no damn money anyway when it comes to it, because I just wanted to build fans and get people listening. So I'm giving away all my shit. Everything that was worth a damn, I gave away to people. You know, so I just gave all the shit away. You gonna put out a song today? Hell yeah, I'm giving away for free. You know, because I didn't know no damn better. And I didn't know how to attach nothing to no bank accounts, no technical side of nothing.
Back then, especially.
I didn't know how to do none of that shit. So as an artist, I was like, look, man, you're just dope. Buy some beats and fucking rap. You know, so put it out to people however you can. So that's what I was doing. Now, you can get paid for fucking everything you put out. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I'm behind, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to doing that kind of thing. I got to tighten up.
You get paid off of clips of shit.
What do you got planned? What's next? What's your angle of attack now, Tin Man? Now that you're back at it, you're trying to get back at it. Like, what's happening?
I guess I'm going independent.
Just
stay independent and damn do my thing. Yeah. Right now, like, I bought another studio. mm-hmm. which I don't know if we talked about that on air or off. Bought another studio here recently.
We talked about it in the interview. Yeah.
Okay, is that what it was? Okay. Yeah.
Shout out Lil Keezy.
Yeah, Lil Keezy. Shout out Lil Keezy.
Such a beast, dude. I wish he'd come back from retirement, yeah. dog.
Yeah, what's Lil Keezy? Help me out.
His name's Lil Keezy, but he's down there from where I'm from, Atlanta area. But he's more of an Atlanta rapper.
I mean, he's fire, bro. Like, we did a couple songs on my album in 2020. Yeah,
he's worked with him before, man. But dude, he's another solid ass dude, man. Like another good ass.
Funny as fuck.
He's hard to find.
He just got busy with work.
I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah, and you'll see, man. I'm gonna surround myself with people like that. You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
I hope this ain't the first time that we're kicking it, but you'll see, man.
No, I better not be.
Yeah, I'm gonna have good people around me. If Tin's in the building, bro, you ain't gotta worry about nobody with me. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just the shit I'm on right now.
Yeah, I'll be on that same shit.
Yeah, dude. If you're gonna be around me, you're gonna have shit together. And if not, you know, we're trying to feed and grow as a unit. You know what I mean? Like I wanna see whether we blow up in music or not, bro, like start the business. Let's do this. Let's take a risk. Let's just try to, you know, grind. You know what I'm saying? If I get a bigger house, it don't make no difference if you're still sitting over here. So we're learning off each other type of shit. You know what I mean? Like whoever's doing better in the group, hell, we gotta learn. You know what I mean? Like,
it's one thing to build yourself. It's another thing to build your network.
Everybody's got to do good.
Yeah. Stamped.
Yeah.
Stamped.
People will tell you, man. Like everybody in the group's got to do good. Like if I do good on something, what the hell does it matter if I'm someplace having a time of my life and my friend can't go with me?
Big
you know what I'm saying? Somebody ain't along with you. You want to take these people, you know, the ones that deserve it and earn it, obviously. You know what I mean? That's what you
want to do. That's how it works over here. I mean, if one of us is winning, we're all winning. Like,
I want more because, hell, I want more to give away. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on the top. You know what I'm saying? I wish I had more money to damn give people. You know, not give people random. You know what I'm saying?
Just to bless
people. Feel like my calling is I need to get more bread, and I'm always trying to grind to get more so I got more to give away. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm going to buy some what I want. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because I'm, you know, I'm to that point where I'm like, nah, fuck that. If I want it, I'm going to get it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, man, I want to be able to buy people cars and shit. Like, that's like a goal for
you. It's like you want to see other people with what you got.
Yeah, bro. Like, it don't do me no good to have it. I want to be able to buy you a fucking car, bro. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, shout I wish I had it right now. Yeah, I'd be like, cars. I'd be like, bro, let's go to the fucking dealership, get you something. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be like that. You know, that's the kind of stuff I'm trying to get to. It ain't because I want the damn money. I'm good where I'm at. I got a nice house, got cars. My daughter's got a car. She's got a Honda Civic. I ain't trying to say what
Shout out to Honda Civic.
You know, we drive Benzes and shit, but we got her Honda Civic and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a nice truck.
Gonna have a bike. That's
you'll get 780,000 miles of that Honda Civic,
man. Believe that.
But at the time, like growing up, when you grow up, like we grew up, who would have thought we'd be buying our daughter, you know, a car? You know what I'm saying? Like, I never thought that even be a possibility.
My kid's 17, you know, ain't even got her driver's license yet.
Really?
Stepping up, Kamora.
What a loser,
my
right?
Son got
that ain't nothing.
Yesterday, that ain't nothing.
I got the picture while I was here.
Yeah, I saw you post it.
I got the picture.
Bro, only reason I didn't have my L's when I was 17 is because I couldn't. Like, I was under training.
Splinch is a thug, dude. He was a DJ and a thug.
I didn't get my L's until about 19, 20.
Oh, did you?
Something like it. I didn't get my L's about driving since I was 12.
Because you was in trouble?
No, I just.
Lazy.
I was driving already. I ain't give a fuck. I had a car before I had a
reckless,
license.
Reckless, just
reckless.
I had a car before I had a license.
Nah,
I had
man.
Two cars before I had
Shout
a license.
Shout out 10, man.
Now, this has been an awesome episode.
It really
man.
Has, dog. Like, to, because, like I said, bro, I've been a, it started with me just being a fan of you, Bubba.
Well, I
reached out to you years ago, genuinely just a fan of what you did. Initially, through probably a co-sign from D-Ray, but it's because I love that guy so much. I was so interested into who 10 Man was. I've been attached to your brand for a long time, just watching, man. It, and, to fast forward and you disappear on me for a couple of years, but to pop back and just still pack that punch that you've always seemed to be packing, bro. Like the shit hits hard. You know what I'm saying?
Really,
like, I've enjoyed watching like the freestyle shit you've posted, and just the
just
stuff
to try
more
to,
recently.
Put just, some shit out, man. I just want people to put it out.
But I love how that comparison on your mental is so much in comparison to one in his current state of how he's been rocking and his angle back, because it's almost the same conversation about just humbling yourself and feeling like, you know what, man? Let me just prove that I should be here.
Yeah.
And, then, then I'll be hard to make go away. Yeah. But right now, I love that type of angle. But to sit and just get to know you this afternoon, bro, it's been real as fuck.
Yeah,
but to back to what you said earlier, you hope this ain't the only time we kick it, bro. Yeah. Like, once you get that seat, bro, anytime you're in this city and you got some shit to say, this is where you come.
Pull up.
I've looked forward to meeting you up to this moment, and I'm glad that it happened on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, with the years attached to these DMs, bro, I'm trying to tell you, like, I'm glad that we created this platform prior to you pulling up tonight because it just makes so much more sense on the back end now.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me, bro, because, like I said, it's been long overdue.
But yeah, at the same absolutely.
Time, we've been in the rooms and rubbed shoulders and stuff and been in places, like, but it'd be like a day off or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I leave this studio or whatever, and I see y'all up there the next day or something like that. And, you know, just keeping up with Nashville, like, through social media, seeing what's going on, I'm like, damn, if I stayed another day, I could have kicked it, you know, kicked it with them. You know,
I totally get what you're saying, dog. It's weird to look at it like that, but I catch myself looking at it like that all the time.
I could have stayed a couple extra hours, and hell, I'd have got to hang out with some cool motherfuckers, but shit,
just missed them.
Like, so it's like, man, instead, you got to go home, wait years, and plan it.
Yeah,
but I mean, now that we're here, you know, man, I appreciate it.
I love it, dude. Yeah. Like, especially with just some of the stuff we touched on and some of the shit y'all picked up on Chad Arms TV interview. Like, I love how it's came like full flourish into these moments right here because, like I said, up to the day, I've never had the opportunity to meet you.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad it happened the way it's happened, bro. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
We're going to rap and shit still.
Yeah.
We're going to rap.
Tim Man got some shit to say.
We'll wrap the episode up, then we'll get into that.
Tell them we're rapping.
Stay tuned to that. Matter of fact, the way we put these out and today, when this comes out, y'all stay tuned. Later on today, Chad Arms TV. What time do we do those?
If like 2 or 3 p.m., like 3 or 4 hours later.
Yeah, let's do, 2 p.m.? Let's just do 2.
That's fine.
Cool. So as the podcast aired at 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. Central, we'll do 2 p.m. today. Tim Man, Show and Prove Session. That's chapter 6, 7. I don't know where we're at.
It's the first on the new set, too.
The first on the new set. With all that being said, I'm anxious to shoot that. I forgot all about it in this great conversation we've been having, dog.
Yeah,
but anytime you want to pull back up, Bubba,
absolutely,
please, let's do it again.
Like, it's been awesome.
On or off camera, I don't care if you're just Pacific City. Yeah. Hit my line.
Pull up. I'll come through and just kick it. Shit. Yeah, like I said, I'll come through and just hang out with y'all. Hell, talk some shit.
Yeah, y'all tap the fuck in. Tim Man, he's back, bro.
Appreciate y'all.
Contact information below, social media, all that. Tap the fuck in. It's been a pleasure having you, dog.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Hell yeah, dude.
Y'all know what it is. Chad Arms down there, O&E. Myself, Squinch, 615. Our friend, Tim Man. It's IGotSomeShitToSay.com, ChadArmsTV.com. Chatty, get us the fuck out of here.
Bow.
Bitch, we got views.